I'm Dr. Linda Chavorne-Spark, and I work for NASA, which is the U.S. Space Agency. When most people think of NASA, they think of people flying in space. They think of the space shuttle, they think of the International Space Station. But here in the Science Mission Directorate, where I work, what we do is basically launch robots into space. No people involved once it's up there, except, well, occasionally they go fix it. So these robots range from the multi-billion dollar Hubble Space Telescope and the Curiosity rover on Mars, down to things the size of a shoebox, which will generally carpool with something else much bigger, and you can get a swarm of these little shoebox things that will, say, fly through a magnetic storm around the Earth and will tell you what's happening in all the different areas of it. I'm in astrophysics, and our projects are telescopes and not rovers. Telescopes need instruments to make the measurements. They need to, and the scientists who think up the projects and who think up the instruments on the telescopes that make the measurements, they're not all NASA people. Most of them are, in fact, at universities and science institutes that are all over the country. So my job in particular is to coordinate the research competitions, which are for scientists who are asking for fairly small amounts of money that will support them and a graduate student or two to work in their lab and start working on the new ideas for things that will be flying 20 or 30 years from now. The cutting edge technology, which is going to be flaky, which needs to be developed in the lab before it's robust enough to fly in space. The very early work, and funds their students to work alongside them. And while those students work on the projects, they're also developing into the scientists and engineers of the future. The best thing is really what I do every day. It takes as long to build a space mission as it does to build a cathedral. It's a 20, 30 year from the early technology to figuring out what you can do, to deciding that, okay, this is how you'll do the big mission, to rounding up the money for the big mission, actually putting it together, and then flying it in space and getting the science down. Hubble is 25 years in orbit now, so the people who started working on Hubble started 50 years ago. And what I do day to day, running the research competitions for scientists all over the country to do early stage technology, keeping that research program healthy, is going to give us the telescopes of 20, 30, 40, and 50 years from now. And that's the best thing I do. That's why I come to work in the morning.
My name is Joel Shiraga, and I've been in public service at U.S. Environmental Protection Agency since 1987. I lead the agency's efforts to anticipate and prepare for the impacts of climate change. I get to make a positive difference in people's lives every single day, and I get to interact with those people in communities all across the country. I get to listen to them, learn about the things they care about and value in their daily lives. And then I get to work really closely with them to protect those things in a world in which the climate is changing, to protect those things for themselves, for their children, and for future generations. Public service is an honor and a privilege. If you do it right, it can be incredibly rewarding. And the thing that keeps me going is knowing I can make a positive difference in people's lives. So, for example, if a community in a coastal area is building a facility to provide safe drinking water to its citizens, my job is to help inform them about the risks that rising sea levels and more frequent storms and storm surges can pose to those facilities, so they can go invest those taxpayer dollars in a facility that will in fact be protected and effective even as the climate changes. I like to say it's about smart government. We have an opportunity to prepare the nation for the future in a smart way, and it's exactly that opportunity that keeps me awake at night. And I must say it's exciting because we're already making a difference. It's incredibly rewarding when you see a city like Boston anticipating rising sea levels, so the billions of dollars they invested to upgrade their Deer Island wastewater treatment plant are effective and ensure that the facility is in fact protected over its lifetime as the climate changes.
My name is Brian Morales. I work for the U.S. Department of State's Bureau of International Narcotics and Law Enforcement Affairs. Well, most people don't realize that my team exists, that the U.S. works in over 80 countries around the world to both prevent substance use as well as to treat substance use disorders. Drug addiction affects people in communities around the world in very common ways, and the U.S. conducts most of the world's research in the field of addiction science through the National Institutes on Drug Abuse. So, in fact, we have a lot of science, a lot of research to share with the rest of the world. The scientific research that we have is not always reaching the workforce, those drug treatment professionals on the ground. And sadly, we see ineffective treatment practices all around the world. In some cases, they violate human rights. So what my office does is we develop curriculum to train prevention and treatment professionals around the world, including in the U.S., so they can better prevent and treat drug addiction. We also funded the development of guidelines by the World Health Organization for the treatment of pregnant and addicted women, not just for South America and Africa and Asia, but also for hospitals across the U.S. to both protect the mother as well as the unborn child. One of the best things is really our work in Afghanistan. Since 2009, I've worked to establish 76 treatment programs in Afghanistan where practically none existed before. And Afghanistan is in a situation where we have a third of the households in Afghanistan that are using at least one drug, typically opium. And many of our centers are for children from infancy up until 10, 11 years of age. In fact, to treat them, we had to develop the world's first protocols for child treatment. And so now we're using these protocols in South Asia and South America for children that are using crack cocaine. But in Afghanistan, we also developed a previously non-existent workforce of 500 professionals through training, through mentorship. And now these professionals, I'm very proud to say, are fully funded by the government. They've been incorporated as government employees, and we are transitioning the treatment programs over to the government. So it's been very rewarding to see that whole development of a treatment system within a country. My mentor, Tom Brown, who was a finalist for the Service to America Award a couple years ago, always would tell me to remember to use all the partnerships and the tools that are at my disposal. As a program manager and a U.S. government representative, I have incredible access to governments, to civil society, and I have the support of our embassy structure. So I will visit the most marginalized, impoverished citizens in a slum area 1 hour, and then the next hour I'm meeting the Minister of Education or Minister of Health. And so it's really a privilege as an outsider to carry the voices of all of these different actors, and then to serve my country is a tremendous privilege, and I feel empowered by the support of our embassies and the colleagues. But in a way, I also feel a sense of responsibility to get it right, to help those vulnerable populations that governments are unable to or sometimes unwilling to help. And their situation is made significantly worse by drug use and has the potential to affect and destabilize the security of their countries. And so in that way, drug use abroad actually does have an effect on a wide range of U.S. interests. And it's really an honor to serve my government in that way.
My name is Joanne Slamalaiti. I work for the National Science Foundation in the Engineering Directorate. Something about my job that most people don't know or realize is that the National Science Foundation does not do its own research. Most of its funding goes to colleges and universities, and in turn, these grants fund graduate students. And those graduate students are really the next generation of our workforce. My job connects the government with citizens in a more effective way by its funding that goes to these graduate students. Through that, we're providing the next generation of scientists and engineers who will discover and innovate to promote progress of science and engineering and advance the national health, prosperity, and welfare, which is really NSF's mission. The best thing I've ever done in my job with the government is being co-chair of a working group which is looking at innovations at the nexus of food, energy, and water. This initiative is looking at the fact that population is going to increase and we're going to need more food, energy, and water. However, food needs water and energy, energy needs water. So these three systems are really interconnected. NSF is looking at understanding these interconnections and how modeling, cyber infrastructure, and solution and technologies will help us deal with these increasing demands upon these resources. As such, I've really helped give opportunities to researchers whose results will be extremely important to this global issue.